Oh, this morning. I asked Brother Mitch, if you'd come and open the service up in prayer and also pay over the tithes and the offering. A number of prayer requests. We want to, Brother Samuel Taylor has a note here. It says, there's a sister in my church who called me this morning concerned a medical diagnosis, water in her chest. We just want to remember her this morning in prayer. Also, we want to continue to remember Sister Rayleigh Shepherd in prayer. She's in the hospital, still in the hospital recovering. Still needs a lot of prayer. Also remember Sister Sarah Buchanan and her sisters as they are helping taking care of her. I want to remember the males as they're away. Erwin John is in urgent care, changing allergy medication, so we want to remember her this morning. Also, Ethan McCaffrey is sick. Angela, Ella Kate, and Pierce, and Brother Mike are out of town at a grad, so we want to pray for them. Lord, give them traveling mercies. Also, Ben and Sharon are away. So if you want to lift your hand, if you have a need on your heart this morning, just raise your hand as we go to our Heavenly Father. It's good to see Brother John James in church. Lord, touching his tooth. I want to thank the Lord for that. And Brother Mitch, if you'd come.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Father, we just thank you for this day and this opportunity to come into your house and worship you and listen to your word. And Lord, we thank you for a place that we can come that with no matter what need we have, we know that we can bring it to you and lay it at your feet. Father, we have several prayer requests here, many that are unspoken. I just pray that you would go to each of them. Those that are in the hospital, Lord, are needing a touch from you with medical diagnosis and just healing that they need. I just pray that you touch them and that you make them well. I just pray for the caregivers, Lord, of those family members, that you would give them strength. Lord, of my own life, I just pray that you would touch me, Lord. We have many things coming, not just as a family and as an assembly, Lord. So I just pray that you would guide us all. Just bless the service now. Help us to come into your presence and just focus on your word and just speak to us, I pray. Bless the tithes and offering as well, and bless those that are giving and those that are not able to give. We love you, Lord, and just ask you forgive us of anything we have done or said this week that would just push your presence away. We love you. We ask it in your precious name. Amen.
Why don't you turn around and shake hands with someone beside you and say, God bless you. It's good to have you in the house of the Lord. Amen. Well, I asked this morning, I asked Brother Keith if he would sing. I texted him early this morning and asked him, I said, how are you feeling? His reply to me is, I'm feeling pretty good. It's going to be a good day. I can feel it coming on. And that was his reply. I said, perfect. I have a song for you. I'd like him to sing. And I forgot what the title was. Feeling My Define, I believe is the title of the song. So if you'd come and sing it this morning.
If I don't say I'm feeling mighty fine, then Satan don't know. He don't know what I'm feeling, so. But he's about to find out. Full disclosure here, known this song pretty much my whole life, but today is the first day I've ever played it or sang it. No practice, no nothing. So full disclosure, you all get to witness my practice. Just pray for me and enjoy the words to this song because I think it's 100% true. Well, I woke up this morning feeling fine. I woke up with heaven on my mind. Oh, I woke up with joy in my soul, for I knew my Lord had control. 'cause I've been on my knees in the night, and I prayed till the Lord gave a sign, and prayed till the Lord gave a sign, and now I'm feeling mighty fine. Well, I'm feeling mighty fine. I've got heaven on my mind. Don't you know I want to go where the milk and honey flows? There's a light that always shines down inside this heart of mine. I've got heaven, heaven on my mind, and now I'm feeling mighty fine. We're walking with Jesus all the time. We're walking and talking as we climb. We're traveling the road to the sky, where I know I'll live when I die. Oh, he's been telling me of that land, and he tells me everything is grand, and he says that a home will be mine. Oh, now I'm feeling mighty fine. Well, I'm feeling
service of Brother Barry. Let's sing, "Thank God I Am Free, Free From This World of Sin." Thank God I am free, free, I'm free from this world of sin. Been washed in the blood of Jesus, been born again.
From the chance to fly. Like a blind man, that God gave back his sight. Like a poor wretched beggar that's found fortune and fame. I'm so glad that I found out he could bring me out through his holy name. Yes, thank God. Oh, I'm free from this world of sin.
Today. Welcome everybody to the house of the Lord and to the presence of God. And that's a great blessing and a privilege for us to be able to enjoy the presence of God today and to know that we are the seed of Abraham, the royal seed of Abraham. So we are blessed today to be in his presence. First thing we're going to do, we're going to go to prayer and bring these requests, special requests before you this morning. And we want to remember the special one, Sister Sarah Buchanan, is not here, and we're remembering her sister, Ray Lee, who's in the hospital in Johnson City, still battling, clinging on to life and battling every day, and we sure want to hold her up in prayer. It's a serious situation, and we're just trusting that the Lord will undertake for her. And we have several folks that are away today. You know most of them, and probably been mentioned already. Males are gone today, and it's Annie Male's birthday tomorrow. So we certainly wish her a happy birthday. And it's a Stevens' anniversary. Is it today? How many years today?
18.
18 years. Wonderful. God bless you both. We appreciate the Stevenses very much. And today is Annie Male's birthday. And so we wish her a happy birthday. Now, so we're gonna pray and we're gonna bring these requests before the Lord. But before we do that, we're gonna hear a little testimony. And so I'm gonna invite Josh Godwin to come. This is a testimony that I did not bring to the church because I did not bring it to the church until the time was right. And you'll remember maybe 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, Josh and Kristen brought Sophie up here for prayer, and Sophie was going through a very difficult time, and it was a very difficult time for the family. And Brother Anwar was here, and Brother Bill Ivy was here, and the three of us prayed for Sophie. And I want Josh to share a little bit about that testimony so you can hear how God answered prayer.
Yeah, sure. So for the last couple months, we were dealing with Sophie. She was having a lot of night terrors at night where she would just scream and kind of thrash about multiple times a night, sometimes 20, 30 minutes at a time. Very inconsolable. She did not want to be like held or anything. She would just kick and thrash in your arms, and she would just kind of lay there. Couldn't wake her up out of it hardly at all. You know, we've got two older kids who've gone through sleep regressions and things like that, and but nothing on like this kind of scale for the last couple months. And of course, we were not sleeping good at night, especially Kristen. A couple weeks ago, we texted Brother Barry at first, and we're like, hey, we want to come up for prayer on Sunday and, you know, have her prayed for, because there's just, you know, we called our doctor, and they recommended a couple things, and we just wanted her to have her prayed for. And that Sunday night was the first time she had slept all night in, you know, weeks. Amen. We'd have maybe one night every once in a while where she was just so exhausted. But since then, we've maybe had two nights where we've gotten up a couple of times with her, but nothing on the scale that she was before then. And then, you know, of course, when you start laying kids down, the bedtime games things and stuff, so she has that still. But no, the last couple of weeks have been quite amazing seeing the change in her. We've also seen a change in her personality, because sometimes during the day she would be just, you know, feels like a kind of like an angry spirit on her a little bit, but then she kind of calmed down a little bit even more since we've had her prayed for. So it's definitely been a blessing.
Let's stand to our feet. God answers prayer, and we're so thankful for that. God is good. Brother Taylor, would you just come on up and open up in a word of prayer for us this morning? We're glad to have Brother Taylor with us this morning. And you bring your need now before him. Let's close our eyes. Let's bow our heads together, everybody. We have these requests that we've mentioned, but there are many more, and we know there's many on your heart. So let's just bow our heads together as Brother Taylor prays.
Our kind Heavenly Father, we thank you that, Lord, we can come before you, Lord, with all our troubles, our difficulties, yes. Lord, our insufficiencies, Lord, and many more, Father. Lord, we have these requests that are brought before you. There are others, O God, that have not been written. But because you are God, you know every need of everyone here. Father, we raise them all before you, Lord. Father, these are not written for our sake, but for you, Lord. Father, may you take every one of them.
Yes.
Father, grant every need, Lord. You are God. We trust you, Lord. You are the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Father, we'll not leave here the same. We know that God, whatever we bring before you, because we are children, because we are sons and daughters, you are there as a father even to answer all our requests. May you grant it unto us as we trust in you.
Yes.
Lord God, you who foreknew us before the foundation of the world, may you grant every need in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Taylor. God bless you. I bless your name. I bless your name. The Lord. Shake hands with somebody close by. Say, God bless you, pilgrim. Good to have you in the house of the Lord, and you can be seated this morning. And we welcome all of you. Tomorrow as well is Brother Ben, Sister Sharon's wedding anniversary. And they're not with us today. They're away for a couple of days for their anniversary. So we want to wish them all the best as well. Now let me do a couple of quick things here today. This is a special day for us, not only because we have Brother Tim Dodd, and I know you'll certainly enjoy the word today. We have two services today, this morning and at 5 o'clock, and we have a dinner in between. So we want to take care of everybody and trust you'll be well fed today. We also are honored to have Brother David Genest. Yes, close. God bless you. Brother David, bienvenue. And Couture de Benes is from Ottawa, Canada. And he is Sister Liddy's nephew. And he is a member of the RCAF, which is the Royal Canadian Air Force, and stationed for a period in Sumter, South Carolina. And so we are honored to have you here today. God bless you, and good to meet you. Also as well, I wanted to make a formal announcement here that we are proud and honored to have a new member of our church officially with us today. And he is no stranger to us, and a guest, no longer a guest, but a dear friend. And I just want to say, Jeremiah, welcome to HBT. Jeremiah's. Jeremiah has decided to join us and to sojourn with us, and we are just honored and delighted over that. Jeremiah, may God bless you and prosper your way. We trust that the Lord will bless you. Now, today is Grad Sunday, and we want to honor our graduates today, and I love to be able to do this, and it's a great honor to be able to recognize our graduates and all that they have accomplished. And it's a milestone, and certainly a great transition for our graduates. And so we like to honor them. And there's a little bio and picture that's on the bulletin board out in the lobby, and you can take a look at that. Then also out in the fellowship hall, the graduates who are here today were able to set up a little table that had some of their pictures, their certificates, diplomas, and accomplishments that are part of their history, and they're set up out in the fellowship hall. You'll see that when you go out for dinner, and you're able to get your picture made with the graduates and all of that, and we applaud their accomplishments over the years. So I'd like to start and let you know that we have a couple of graduates who are in absentia today, and the first one is Ella Kate Jackson. And Sister Ella Kate is not here. She's out in Kansas, actually attending her cousin's graduation. And so she's not here today. But we will get her when she gets back. She graduated from Foothills Christian School. She was homeschooled for a number of years and also has plans to, she's attending Isothermal Community College and also pursuing an Associate of Arts degree. So we want to congratulate Sister Ella Kate. And secondly, the second high school graduate is Sister Abigail McCafferty, and she is not here today either, and we'll get to present her Bible to her when she gets here. She's a graduate from Heritage Christian School, graduated with honors. She was a co-captain of the varsity volleyball team and member of the chorus and drama in her school. She was a teacher's assistant for first grade, and she plans to attend community college and doing interior design. And that's exciting. That's exciting. We need interior designers. Just like Brother Tim Dodd said yesterday, every church needs a mechanic. We applaud Sister Abby. Then, thirdly, in our high school category, we are proud to recognize Jude James. And if you see the picture of Jude out here on the board, he dresses up pretty well. He's got a pretty sharp picture out there. Jude graduated from East Lincoln High School and earned a 3.8 GPA. He has future plans to attend Western Carolina University in the fall, where he will major in psychology and also in marketing. Jude, come on up. We want to give you a Bible here and just shake your hand and let you know that we're proud of your accomplishment. We believe that God brought your family here for a reason, and we just want to say congratulations and all the best in the future. Okay? Let me take this. All yours. God bless you. Okay. Now, all of our high school graduates had to go to school because of the law, even though their accomplishments are great. But our college graduates went to school voluntarily and have graduated, and we're happy to celebrate three college graduates. They're all three here today. And let's start with Sister Lily Ann Harwell today. Sister Lily, who has been to the front to receive several Bibles over the years. And I think she's just making a collection. That's why she's going to school so much. But Sister Lily has achieved her Bachelor of Science in Career Technical Education with a concentration in agriculture at App State University. She graduated summa cum laude and has accomplished quite an achievement in her years in school. Sister Lily, we are proud of you, what you have done. Welcome back to the front. There's another Bible to add to your collection here. God bless you in the future, and all the best. We pray God's blessing in all you do, and enjoy the Bible. God bless. Rebecca Ivy. Come on up, Rebecca. Rebecca Ivy graduated from the University of North Carolina at Charlotte. She received her Bachelor of Arts in Elementary Education, plus her Bachelor of Arts in the German language. She has a language certificate of German-English Business. She graduated magna cum laude with a double major, and she is also a North Carolina Teaching Fellow and a Mabane Early Literacy Scholar. She completed 168 credit hours of school. Her plans are in the future to be an elementary school teacher, which she'll start next week or this coming school term. And her favorite Bible verse throughout school has been 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4. I'm filled with comfort. I'm exceeding joyful in all of our tribulation. Rebecca, come on up. And we are proud of your accomplishments and all you've done. And we want to present you with this Bible today and trust that it'll be a blessing to you. But I want you to tell us, what is a North Carolina Teaching Fellow?
It's a scholarship, so it's for future teachers, and it basically just ensures that there are more teachers in the profession, and it's a highly recognized honor across the country.
Wow, it is. That's impressive. But shouldn't it be a North Carolina Teaching Gal instead of a fellow? I'm only joking. So to be a fellow at your age is quite an accomplishment, so we appreciate that very much and wish you all the best in your future endeavors. God bless you. Last but certainly not least, we have Mitchell Buchanan. Mitchell Buchanan graduated from Catawba Valley Community College with a degree, with an associate degree of science in nursing, and then also has become an RN, registered nurse. He achieved honors as class president. He is going to be your future plan is a BSN, which is a Bachelor of Science in Nursing, and then to work in critical care, certifications in critical care nursing, and becoming a flight nurse. Possible graduate degree beyond that, and beyond that, being a husband and dad to twins. This is exciting. Favorite Bible verse, Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Mitchell, come on up here. We are proud and honored to be able to recognize your work after all of these years and to be able to present you with this Bible. And our best wishes for the years ahead. Your life is about to change in a great way. And we are going to enjoy watching it. You're going to enjoy going through it. And you and your wife, God has blessed you over the years. We've watched you grow. And we just pray that God will lead you and guide you. And all the best for you and your wife and family in the days ahead. God bless you. we appreciate our graduates and all that they have done and accomplished, and may the Lord bless them and lead them on to the next phase of life. And I think it's a worthy thing to recognize their hard work, and not only the work of those individuals, but their families also. And in Mitchell's case, his spouse, and moms and dads who labor in homeschooling and helping kids through school and all the different responsibilities that they take on in that season of life. So we just want to say we appreciate all of that and those labors. So before we end this part of it and turn it to Brother Tim, I wanted to mention a couple of special requests. And one is on behalf of John and Jennifer Cockman. And they have an appointment, is it tomorrow in Charlotte? Wednesday in Charlotte at Charlotte Juvenile Court. And for Royalty and Cynthia, they're determining custody. Is that right? So they've got to have wisdom in order to respond and to be able to present a case for parenthood. And John, we certainly be praying for you on Wednesday. We'll make that a special note and trust that the Lord will give you the words to say and touch the heart of the judge in the court, that they will grant the petition according to God's will. And so we'll sure be praying for that and just trust that the Lord will overshadow that whole experience. Also as well, we're honored this morning to have Brother Beng Pong here this morning from Ghana. He's sitting next to Brother Taylor over here, and he's known to most people as Captain because he worked for as a subcontractor to KLM in Ghana for years and years. And he's staying at the same house, Brother Taylor, and in Charlotte, and is undergoing treatment for cancer at the moment. And so, Brother Beng Pong, we are honored to have you with us today, and may the Lord bless you. And we will pray for the treatments you're going through, and just trust that the Lord will restore you to good health, because that's the promise that we have. Let's stand to our feet this morning, and let's sing that chorus again. We are honored to have Brother Tim with us. Most of you brothers have heard Brother Tim minister at the men's meeting. Brother Tim and I have been friends for a long, long time. Actually, Brother Biskell brought us together many years ago when we were invited to minister at Cloverdale in a particular youth meeting. And back in the early 90s, I think it was, and we came together and ministered there. It was a great blessing. And we kind of hit it off together, and we've been good friends and co-workers, worked on many, many projects, a lot of things that we do in Vision Books. Brother Tim has touched and been involved in, and we still continue to do that. Probably single-handedly, as an individual, Brother Tim has touched as many lives as just about any other minister I know around the world when it comes to assisting churches and missionary work, true missionary, and we are honored to have him with us today. So we want you to put your feet under the table and pull on the gift and just say, Lord, we know that he has. Brother Tim's always loaded with notes, but you may have a question or you may have a problem and you may have a need, and what you can do this morning sitting in your pew is to pull that gift your way and have the Holy Spirit speak to your need today. We're honored also, we don't often have Brother Tim's family with us, but Sister Sarah is great to have you with us today, and two kids today, and it's a blessing to be able to have them with us. And Sarah's already got a connection to us because she's Brother Jason's sister. And so this is family, and we're just excited. Who knew that Brother Jason had a sister? Now we have the proof, and so we're honored to have you all here today. And so may the Lord bless you, and pull on the gift as we sing this morning. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you all.
We have come this morning for that purpose.
Amen.
To bless his name.
Amen.
To worship him.
Amen.
And you know, a lot of times we like to say we've come because we want to be here. But really, we've come because he's called us.
Amen.
We are the chosen of the Lord.
Amen.
The blessed of the earth.
Amen.
To be able to come into the presence of the Lord in the light of the day we're living in. We're not living in the light of another age, or as Brother Brown said, the glare of another age. We're not living under a message of time gone by. We're living under the message of this particular hour. What a blessing it is to be called in this day, or in any day. But in this day, seeing as we're here, what a blessing it is. I want to bring you greetings from Brother Ed Hammermeister, the pastor, and the rest of the church, End Time Message Tabernacle, in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. It's been a very busy year for me and my family. Matter of fact, last year at this time, we were in South Africa. And we were there for 6 months. And go ahead and have your seats for a minute. And I don't want to make you standing during the preliminaries, which will be short. Thank you, musicians. And that's all the singing will do. But we were in South Africa last year at this time. The Lord just directed us there. In order to help the church there, formerly of Brother Gideon Retief, who is a well-known minister and brother in the gospel. And they had been in a length of time without a pastor. And so it just worked out. I won't go into all the details, but it just worked out. We were able to go there. But in going there, we also, I also realized that it was there seemed to be a season for a change in the ministry. And the church in Cloverdale, I offered them if they wanted to me to resign that I would do that. And they said that would be good. And so I did. And so it was no hard feelings. We went to South Africa, spent 6 months, looked to the Lord, and he led us to Edmonton. And we're part of the work there, continuing on in missions and continuing on in the work of the Lord. And so you can imagine, we've relocated. We've been in a foreign land for 6 months. We've done a few things in the last year, traveled to Africa, traveled to Europe, traveled to different places, and now we've traveled to Hickory, North Carolina to be with you. God bless you. It's good to be here this morning, and we trust that God will make this day a blessing to all of us, especially to you. I was reading just yesterday or the day before, Brother Branham saying, you know, the greatest blessing there is to do something for somebody else. And we certainly want to do that this weekend. So thank you, Brother Barry, for the invitation. Is he the first one to leave the service? Okay. All right. Well, that's the way it goes sometimes. And we're just glad for the opportunity to be here and to minister with him, have ministered with him over the years in a number of occasions. And I want to say congratulations to the graduates also. It certainly is an accomplishment, something that I never achieved. I did graduate high school, I'm glad to say that, but that's the limit of my education. I remember one time years ago we were looking for a church building in the north there in Grand Prairie, and there was a Baptist church available, and so we went to view the Baptist church, and the person that was showing us the buildings said, you know, are you the pastor? Yes, I'm the pastor. And she said, oh, what school did you go to? And I said, well, I went to the School of Neology. And she said, oh, I've never heard of that one. I thought, no doubt. I said, actually, it means I went to school on my knees. Oh, she said, is that what you're talking about? So God bless you to the graduates. Brother Branham believed in education as a furtherance of the gift that is within you. And that is what education is meant for. It's not to make you something you're not, but it's to further what God has already put within you. And so may God do that, and may God use you mightily. I don't want to take up a lot of time on preliminaries, and so let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 139, if you would stand with me in honor of the Word of God. I won't make you stand every time we read the Word of God, which we will do that several times during the service, or at least refer to it. I don't know what you do for projection here. If I call on a scripture, if you can throw it up on the screen, that would be helpful. If not, don't worry about it. Okay, we're not going to try and make you fit a mold that you're not used to here. Psalms 139. And let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, it was interesting to hear Brother Barry, your servant, speak about the impact of the ministry around the world and the number of lives that have been touched, not only through the ministry, but also through the Family Altar series, Lord, that has reached to hundreds of thousands of people as well. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done in a little life. And it just reminds us of footprints on the sands of time, showing, Lord, that you can make any life sublime. You can take anyone as little as me and impact somebody else's life and maybe change their trajectory and bring them closer to you. And that's what we want, Father, this morning. Knowing, Lord, that your word is very, very real. It's not something that we have come to be just instructed by this morning. It is something that we have come to be edified by. We have come to be built up. We have come to be increased. We have come, Lord, to that the word would wash us. For, Lord, you said that you would present unto yourself a bride not having spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing, washed in the water of the word. And so we invite you now to have the preeminence. Take this service under your divine control. There might be somebody here this morning that is meeting an obstacle in their life that is insurmountable by their own strength. But Lord, we serve an unlimited, infinite God. And we desire, Lord, that you'll just move through the power of the revelation of your word in every life and grant unto each one now that which they have need of. For there's no secrets held from you, Lord. The word which you are is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of every heart. And so, Lord, may you be pulled by those things this morning, and may you take the service the direction that you want it to go, for we trust you. Many of these people don't know me, so they don't trust me. They can't trust me because they don't know me. We don't trust strangers, but you're no stranger to us, Lord. We trust you. We cast our cares upon you, for you care for us. We ask your blessing now upon the word, the reading, and the speaking of it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now, just before we read the word, I just want to say one thing here. And we're familiar with the scripture that the word of God is quick and powerful. Now, to you young people, the word quick in the old English language means alive. It doesn't mean fast or sudden. It means alive. The Word of God is alive. And as the Word of God goes forth this morning, I want you to understand there's life in it. And it can touch you. There was a sister in Cloverdale that came to me one time and said, "Brother Tim, I have a testimony to share with you." And she said, I was having a woman's issue, she said, with the woman's blood issue, the scripture calls it. And she says, "I didn't tell my family, I didn't tell anybody, I didn't go to the doctor. I was nervous. The devil was trying to tell me that it was cancer. You know, somebody in the church had died from cancer recently, and she was, the devil was really working on her." And she said, "There was a particular service," she says, "where you were speaking, and you went to the woman with the blood issue. And I knew that that had to be the Lord, because it certainly wasn't in my notes." And so she said, "You went to the talk about the woman with the blood issue. And when you spoke of her, something happened and it stopped."
Amen.
And she says, "I haven't had a problem since then." She said, I had pain accompanying it, and the pain didn't go away right away. And so she said, I felt, well, maybe I'll go up for prayer for the pain, but I want Brother Tim to pray for me. And so she's a couple weeks after the Lord had touched her, she came up to the front for prayer. And I was talking over on the side with another sister and one of the other ministers. And I noticed this sister, not knowing any of the testimony yet, come up for prayer. And I said to the other brother, you talk to this sister, you deal with this situation, I'll go and deal with this sister. And so she got her answer, and that Brother Tim would pray for her. And she said, when you prayed, Brother Tim, it was exactly what was on my heart, and the thing left me. And so we thank God for that. Our God is a merciful
Amen.
And a supernatural God.
Amen.
And I shared this with the saints in South Africa. And as I was sharing it with them, there was a sister in the church with a blood issue also. And as I was sharing the testimony, she nudged her husband. And she said, something just happened. God had healed her right then.
Amen.
Amen. And then it happened again in Ethiopia. And I was sharing the testimony with them. And there was a sister there that just let out a cry. I didn't know what was going on. God had healed her.
Amen.
You see, God is interested in your well-being.
Amen.
You just be sensitive to Him this morning. The Word is alive.
Amen.
It's not a dead letter. It's a living revelation of power. Amen. Amen. Psalms 139, verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Now take those three statements together. It's an outstanding scripture. He says, in thy book, all my members were written. And then he doesn't stop there. Which in continuance were fashioned. You see, you're still being molded. And when as yet there was none of them, how precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Amen. The Lord add his blessing to the word. You may have your seats. Now, we're well familiar with the scripture of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And you know, that really is the beginning of the manifestation of God's attributes. For in there, Brother Branham describes many things, and I'll come to it later in this particular scripture. But then it says in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so God had a purpose not just to be the Word, but that the Word would be manifested in flesh. And we have to realize that when in John chapter 1, God being the Word, that we also were in Him then. Well, I got three revelations there. Three amens. You were in God before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
You were in His thoughts. And I want to dwell in this morning service. I want to go a certain direction in the evening service, but I want to dwell this morning service on some foundational thoughts that have been brought out within the message of the hour, and in particular, the thoughts of God becoming materialized. The thoughts of God becoming materialized. Now, if you want to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to read a few scriptures in Ephesians chapter 1. For it reveals the purpose and the plan of God of which you are a part of. Now, you're a part of the plan of God whether you like it or not. Free moral agency doesn't allow you to choose who you are. It only allows you to choose whether or not you will serve God. You have a choice of whom you will serve, but you do not have a choice of who you are. You are born with a certain set of attributes, a certain makeup, a certain lineage. And even Brother Branham goes into it and says, God watched over your grandparents, your great-grandparents, your lineage, everything that came down the line, because he wanted to bring out a certain ting, like a bell, a certain sound out of your life that would only come by a certain input into your life's existence. See, some of you had to go through different experiences, even maybe before you were saved. Some of you had to lose loved ones, and maybe you lost a father or you lost a mother, and there became a stepfather or a stepmother, and different things come into your life that were influences in your life, because God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you, and there has to be a certain sound come out of your life that could only be there by certain influences in you. And so we realize now that this is a reality within our lives, and we don't get to choose that. What we get to choose is when we come to the age of accountability, we get to choose to serve God. God presents his word to us, and we say, yes, Lord, I will serve you. I will accept what Christ did for me at Calvary. I was talking to a young man in South Africa who was looking at the message of the hour, had been witnessed to by a college mate who had was a sister in the church, and she had witnessed to him about the message. He had been attending church, and he had come to me with some questions, and as he was asking questions, and I just zeroed right in on the issue here, and I says, his name was Dylan, and I said, Dylan, I want to ask you a question. I says, have you accepted what Christ has done for you? And now, Christianity is not agreeing with the Bible. And I'll say that again. Christianity is not agreeing with the Bible. There's many people that agree with certain aspects of the Bible, and you might have questions for me, and I might be able to answer some questions. But it's not about you understanding and agreeing. It's about accepting what Christ did for you at Calvary. Amen. If you do not accept what Christ did for you, that he died for your sins and he paid the price for all of your sin, past, present, and future, you're still a sinner. Doesn't matter how good you understand the Bible, you're still a sinner until you accept what Christ has done for you. Amen. And that stunned him, but it made him to think, until I accept what Christ did for me, I'm still a sinner. And that's what I want to say to everybody here this morning. It's not whether or not you agree with this message. If you're a Christian, you'll agree with the message. But you don't become a Christian by agreeing with the message. You become a Christian by accepting what Christ has done for you. So the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. All right, right away we're seeing who chose who. He chose us. When did he choose us? Before the foundation of the world. He didn't choose you after you were born. He didn't choose you after you did some good deed. Like Charles Spurgeon said, I'm convinced that God loved me before I was born because I know he would have never loved me after I was born. And many of us have that same testimony, if not all of us. So according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Amen. Amen. According to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. And we'll come back to that at some point. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Now, as we read this scripture, we realize that it all comes back to him. It's his grace. It's his choosing. It's his purpose. Amen. Are you with me this morning? He says, wherein he is abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. Amen? That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory. Amen. Who first trusted in Christ. All right, so as we read this scripture and the purpose of God and the choosing of God and the plan of God, it leads us back in the scripture to Romans chapter 8, a scripture that we're well familiar with, where it says, "For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, who are the called according to his purpose." Amen. Amen. But it doesn't stop there, but it says, "For whom he did foreknow." In other words, those that were in his mind before. Not who he knew, but whom he foreknew. Those who he knew before. Before what? Before there was a world. Before there was a universe. Before even there was a logos. Before anything, we were in his thoughts. Those who he foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, or we could say he did predestinate to the adoption of children. Amen. It's saying the same thing, that we would be conformed to the image of sonship, that we would be placed in the body, that we would materialize the thoughts that he had about us, that we would declare his glory, that we would fulfill his purpose. God has chosen us in him, and it was before there was anything, and it was back before the foundation of the world. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Amen. Amen. And he didn't stop there. "I didn't just call you." He says, "Moreover, whom he called, them he justified." Amen. Hallelujah. It ought to get us excited as believers this morning, and I can see you already are getting excited. If he foreknew me, he predestinated me. If he predestinated me, he called me. If he called me, he has justified me. And if he has justified me, then it's as though I never sinned in the first place, but I'll go even the next step and say, "Moreover, whom he justified, them he has also glorified." Why? He has called you to the praise of his own glory. Not to the praise of yourself, not to the praise of the church, not to the praise of his wisdom, but to the praise of his glory, the glory of his grace. Amen. That's the purpose that God has in us. 2 Timothy 1 says it this way, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Hallelujah. We're sons. We always were sons. But I want to say now, you have been blessed to live in the hour of the revealing of the sons of God. This is our day. Romans 8 calls it this way, all of creation groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's the King James. But the word manifestation is the word apocalypsis. And the word apocalypsis is revelation, like book of Revelation. All right, so it's actually saying all of creation is groaning, waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. Amen. All right, now I have to jump ahead of myself a little bit here in order to bring us all, because I'm wanting us all to be on the same page. You know, Brother Branham said, if as a minister you can get the people in one mind and one accord, the Holy Spirit will just go to moving throughout the congregation and supernatural things will begin to take place. All right, so the revealing of the sons of God. What is the revealing of the sons of God? All right, so let's go back in the scripture that we just read. The sons of God are the attributes of God, or we who are called to the adoption of children, or the manifestation of the image of Christ, which is sonship. Those of us that are called to that, when were we in his mind? Before the foundation of the world. So then the revealing of sons, or the revealing of sonship, would be the revealing of his mind. Amen. Are you with me? So when is the revealing of his mind? That would be written to us in Revelation chapter 10, where it says, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, all the mystery of God would be finished." Ah, the mystery, that which he held, as Brother Branham said, in Christ the mystery of God revealed, the secret mystery which he held in the back part of his mind. He says, that's what I want to speak on today. The reason there was silence in heaven the space of half an hour. Oh, now when a prophet of God says silence in heaven the space of half an hour, we know he's talking about the seventh seal. See, what I'm trying to do this morning is to bring this all together for you. These are not individual mystery. This is one mystery that's been revealed in a multifaceted fashion in the day and the hour that we're living in. This is the very purpose of God now, the revealing of the sons of God. You are sons, but you've come to an age that the other sons that were in other ages had not come to. That is the age of the revealing of the sons of God. As I told the brothers yesterday morning, there was a brother in South Africa, young brother, Brother Malachi is his name. Good name, Brother Malachi. Good name for this hour. And he said, "Brother Tim," he says, he just recently got married, and it was actually a young people's meeting, and I was speaking about, I think I was speaking about reasoning. But he was just saying to me after the service, he said, "Brother Tim," he says, "you know, you preach things that are very deep, but you make them very personal to us. And it becomes very real and something we can take a hold of." And I said, "Brother Malachi, let me ask you a question." I said, "When God opened the seals, what was under the seals?" And he looked at me. I said, "Was it vials and horse riders and souls under the altar and tribulation and those kind of things? Is that what was under the seals, or was it your name that was under the seals?" Amen. I says, "That's what John wept, was that his name was written there and nobody could open the book. And then it was told to him, don't weep, but rejoice." And you know, this is actually the hour of rejoicing, and I might touch on that tonight. But as John was interested in the book because his name was there. And so when the book was open, it was his name revealed. And I said, now, that's the hour that we're living in, the revealing of the sons of God. It's the very thoughts that God had when he spoke to Job in the Old Testament. He says, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the world? When the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy." Now, where did the sons of God shout for joy? It was in his mind. It was the thoughts of God when he's laying the foundation of the world. Or if I could rephrase that for you, the purpose God had. What a purpose. I'm making the universe. I'm spawning stars. I'm creating galaxies and planets and suns and solar systems and all kinds of things. And I'm just sending it out there, because what I'm thinking now in my mind is of my sons shouting for joy. And all of this is going to come one day to the manifestation of that thought. Yeah. Hallelujah. The great eternal God who was thinking it here has now come to the hour of the revealing of the sons of God that caused the children of God to shout for joy. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You'll have to come tonight to hear about that more. We're living in a great time. a time when all blocked access to God has been removed. We know that Calvary removed the sin chasm, that the bridge between man and God was bridged by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so there was no more gap because of the blood of Jesus Christ between man and God. Now fellowship was open. But more than that, Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Ghost come back on the church, was the removing of the liens or the claims against our inheritance. That which Adam lost in the Garden of Eden, Brother Branham says the baptism of the Holy Ghost shows the devil has no claims against you. All right, so Acts chapter 2 was the removing of the liens against our inheritance. It was the abstract coming down. And the abstract showed the devil has no claims against you. But now in the last days, there's another part that has been removed, and that is the mystery. You see, because we had an inheritance, or as it's called, a title deed. But we didn't know what our title was, or we didn't know what our inheritance was. That was hidden because the title deed Adam lost in the Garden of Eden went back to the hand of God. But Revelation 5 shows us that there will be a day, this day, when the Lamb which paid the price, which sent his spirit back into the church, then would step forward at the claiming time to claim back the inheritance, Brother Branham says, not for angels, but for sons and daughters of God. Amen. So now all that Adam lost is yours. Amen. Okay. I don't want to, now I realize I have some sons that are preachers, and one of my sons said to me one day, said, Dad, we want to say amen to what you preach, but the problem often is that every sentence you say is like a sermon in itself. And you don't give us a chance to say amen. If you just slow down, praise the Lord. Amen. Give us a chance to say amen. All right, so let's go, let's slow down a little bit. Brother Branham tells a story about a slave, and I think this was a slave-holding state, is that correct? North Carolina. And at one time, that men were bought and sold, men and women were bought and sold as slaves, as chattels, as pieces of property, and of course it was a shameful blight upon the American system, and you're paying the price to this day. And that's not what we're here to speak about. But in this particular instance, there was some slave traders that were going throughout the plantations to buy and sell slaves. And they came across this one plantation, you know the story, and this one farm, and they noticed a particular slave that didn't behave like the rest of the slaves. All right, so they asked the owner, could we buy him? And he said, he's not for sale. They said, well, why is he better behaved? Why is he a better worker? Why is he better in so many ways than the other slaves? And they said, do you feed him better food? And he says, no, I don't feed him better food. He says, well, does he sleep in better quarters? No, he doesn't sleep in better quarters. Well, does he have more privileges than the other slaves? No, he doesn't have more privileges than the other slaves. And they said, well, what makes him different? And the farmer said, the owner said, he said, well, I was wondering that myself, but and one day I found out over in the homeland where he came from, his father was the king of a tribe. Yeah. And so being over here, even though he's in slavery, he recognizes himself as the son of a king. And he behaves as the son of a king. Right. Now, I'm going to stop here just a moment. We usually are familiar with the story to that level. But now I'm going to ask you a question. What if he didn't know he was the son of a king? That doesn't make him any less the son of a king. He still has all the genetics and everything. But if he didn't know he was the son of a king, he would behave differently. Even though, naturally speaking, nothing's different. It's what he knew who he was. And when you know who you are, that's the purpose of the message. And I told Brother Malachi, and I said, you know, when it's your name that's under the book, or under the seals that's on the book, I said, then you have to understand, if I'm preaching and I'm not showing you who you are, I'm not preaching the message. I might be preaching Pentecostalism. I might be preaching Lutheranism. I might be preaching Methodism. I might be preaching Catholicism. But the message of the hour came to show you who you are. Amen. The seals have been taken off so you can see yourself. Amen. Not so you can see who the horse riders are and all kinds of things. And all of these things are symbols. Even the fact that we call it a book is a symbol. Because there's no books in heaven. Does God have paper mills where he's pumping out paper? And, you know, maybe has a herd of cattle where he gets the leather to make the leather bound Lamb's Book of Life, and you know, put it all together, and has print shops and binderies, and put it all together and put your name on there. No. It's a symbol. It's symbolic of the thoughts of God. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And so many things, you have to be careful, because the book of Revelation is a book of symbols. And you have to be careful that you're not preaching the symbolism as the real. Because the symbol is just a symbol. And so we say your name was written on the Lamb's Book of Life. We're actually saying you were a thought of God before the foundation of the world. Oh, I'm so glad I'm living in this hour. I'm glad I'm not living in the dark ages where I'm like, oh, one day we're going to have a book. One day the book is going to be opened. One day the record is going to be read. And one day, you know, the angel, you know, he'll put on his spectacles and he'll open the book. And, you know, he'll read my name there. Oh, I'm glad to be beyond that ignorance. Amen. That it's not something temporal. That it's not something where my name was written at a specific time. But I was literally the thoughts of God before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We need to get over the idea that God thought of us, because he didn't think of us. We are his thoughts. Because when we say he thought of us, we think of it like we think.
Yeah.
Oh, one day I just thought of it. And you know, that's often how ministers are in Revelation as we study the word. And one day it just comes to us. It's like, oh, I never thought of it that way before. God's not like that. God never thought a new thought. You were always there. When did you begin? Not when you were born physically. Not when you were born again. Not even before the foundation of the world. The fact of the matter is, you never did begin. Because you always were an eternal thought of an eternal God. Amen. Are we together on this?
Yes.
All right. So now let me just say, it's not so much of us drawing closer to heaven, but heaven is drawing closer to us. It's God, the Word, coming down like he desired in the cool of the evening with Adam and Eve. God coming down to fellowship with his attributes. It's God drawing near. It's the revealing of his thoughts. There's only one thing that stops us from full adoption or full sonship: the change of these mortal bodies. That's the last thing we're waiting for. But now let me go to the Smyrnian Church Age book, the Smyrnian chapter of the Church Age book, and just read you a few things that Brother Branham said there. Are you still with me?
Yeah.
All right. Before there was ever a speck of stardust, before God was God, and he was known only as the eternal spirit, the bride was already in his mind. Yes, she was. She was existing in his thoughts. And what about those thoughts? Those thoughts of God. They are eternal, are they not? The eternal thoughts of God. Let me ask you, are the thoughts of God eternal? Now he makes a statement. If you can see this, you will see many things.
Yes, sir.
God is unchangeable in essence, in both essence and behavior. We have studied that and proven that already. God is infinite in his abilities. So therefore, he as God must be omniscient. And the word omniscient means all-knowing. So I just tell you that so you don't have to Google it. If he is omniscient, then he is not now learning, nor is he taking counsel even with himself. Nor is he at any time adding to his knowledge. Because if he can add to his knowledge, then he is not omniscient. All right? He is omniscient. He has never had a new thought about anything. He has never had a new thought about you. When you made your worst mistake, God did not have a new thought about you. Hallelujah. You were already a thought before the foundation of the world. That thought never changes. God never changes. That's what Brother Bradham is establishing here is, and we have to get it into our pea brains, is that his thoughts never change. His thought of you never changed. If he once saw you glorified, he always sees you glorified. You see, it's only the thing that God does not operate by time. Oh, here's another whole message. I'll give you three sentences. God does not operate in time. Brother Branham made a statement. He says 150 million years of light space is only a 16th, is less than a 16th of an inch in eternity. Does that scramble your brain? Scrambled mine when I read it. And then it spawned a whole series of messages. All right. God does not operate in time. You're seeing I have to stop myself here. But God operates in manifestation. Let there be light. Light is the word manifested. All right. Now, Brother Branham had a vision as a young preacher. And in this vision, he sees a little baby that's sick. And in the vision, he sees a lot of things. He sees a woman sitting in a chair, wiping her glasses. He sees a hat on a shelf. He sees a blonde-headed boy. He sees different things in a certain layout of a house. And so he's shown this vision, and so he knows it's going to materialize at some point. And so he's asked by Brother Graham Snelling, please come. There's a family, I think it's a relative of Graham Snelling's, the sick baby. Brother Brown says, okay, I'll come and pray. He gets to the house. He walks in the house. He sees it's the house that the vision was shown him. All right, so then he says, oh, bring me the baby, and I'll pray for the baby, and you watch, God will heal this baby. And he takes the baby, and he prays for the baby, and nothing happens. It even gets worse, and then he realizes he didn't wait for all the parts of the vision to materialize. Because there's one thing God did not show him in the vision. Do you know what that is? The clock. God did not show him the time the vision would materialize. See, we're living under a vision. It's called a rapture. But no man knows the day or the hour. We have not been shown the time. We've been shown certain events that must unfold in the day that we're living in. And we've seen signs and we've seen things. Even Brother Branham said, even the opening the seals signified the ushering in of the end time. And so we recognize all of these things falling into place and we're catching it now. But the whole purpose of this is, Brother Branham said, when the bride recognizes who she is, then we'll be at the moment of translation, the moment of the body change. We're going to see the materialization, but there has to be all of the pieces fall into place. And that's how God operates in his thoughts, his certain characteristics. Don't worry, you'll see this all come together at the end here. and how it relates to you personally, because God is bringing it all into place. It's His purpose. It's His pleasure. It's His plan. And it's unfolding all around us. Oh my, let me go back to the quote here. He says, God is unchangeable in essence and behavior. We've studied that. He said He is omniscient. He has never had a new thought about anything because all His thoughts He has ever had and always will have, and knows the end from the beginning because He is God. Thus, the thoughts of God are eternal. They are real. They are already real and eternal and part of God. Amen. That's who you are. You see, if I could take away every doubt out of your mind, if I could just by the snap of my fingers just remove every cloud, every spiritual amnesia, everything, you would stand up this morning recognizing yourself in perfect faith like Jesus recognized who He was, and there's not a thing the devil would be able to do with you. Hallelujah. That's what God's doing. That's His purpose in this message, is to show you who you are. Amen. Then Brother Branham goes right after that part. He says they are real, they're eternal, a part of God. He says, see how this works. God always had His thoughts for Adam. Adam, as His thoughts was yet unexpressed. And then He says, Psalms 139 will give you a little idea of this. That's the scripture we started with now. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. My substance was not hid from thee. To you, O God, I was always in your thoughts. When Adam was in the earth, on the earth, my body was laying here. Because you knew there would come a materialization of that part of the earth into the materialization of your thought. And here we are. Amen.
Amen?
Here we are. When God made Adam, He saw you. Because God never thought a new thought. When God saw Adam, He saw your struggles. He saw the battles you would have. He knew that Eve would fall after He took her out of Adam, and how that she would be deceived. But out of that deception, He would be able to manifest parts of Himself that He could not express any other way. Because this place of time and space is just a realm for God to declare parts of Himself that He could not declare without a negative. There had to be a negative to declare the positive. You see, when Satan deceived Eve and got Eve to trip up Adam, how that Satan thought he had won. The reason that Satan thought he had won, because he had never seen grace before. It had never materialized before. But now the grace of God came down and provided a sacrifice for Adam and Eve. And a bleeding lamb skin was placed on them. And they could walk out of the Garden of Eden and be covered by the blood of lambskins and have a form of fellowship with God. And through that now, the whole redemptive purpose of God and His thoughts, His attributes, His manifestation down through the ages would unfold until the time of the end time, which would materialize what God told Job was in his mind to begin with. When the sons of God shouted for joy. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We're here, folks. Amen. This is your time. We're not looking for it. It's here. Amen. I want to emphasize that. We're not coming to something. It's right now. Amen. If we could recognize that it's right now upon us. My wife was singing a song this morning. We were talking a little bit about the word. And she just began to sing a song. What was that song you were singing? Something coming. Lift your head. Your redemption draweth nigh, or something. Sorry? Morning's coming. You have to speak a little louder. You learn to preach, sister. All right. But that's been the attitude down through the ages. There's something coming. Morning is coming. The dawn is breaking. There's something just ahead. But that's no longer the song. The song is, it's here. This is the season. This is the revealing of the sons of God. You see, in a Pentecostal revelation, Brother Branham talked about the saints in Louisiana. And he said how that, you know, they're always saying, fast pray, fast pray. There's a day coming. There's a revival coming. You know, there's something coming. He says, being a Christian, they feel the pull of the hour, but they don't recognize what God is doing. It's the awakening of the bride. It's already here. It's not something we're looking for. It's already amongst you. If God could just take the scales off of our eyes and cause us to realize you're actually standing in the midst of the revealing of the sons of God, the very thing that all of creation groaned for is happening right around you. And when you realize it, it only produces a rejoicing. It only produces an excitement. It produces a reality. It's not something, oh, I'm sorry, I got to just say it this way. You see, it really hit me the other day as I was preaching. I'm sorry, I'm all over the map this morning. But I was thinking about, I don't want to preach, excuse me for saying it this way, from the devil's inspiration. I want to preach from God's inspiration. Now, the reason I say it that way is this. When the devil came to Jesus, it was, if thou be the Son of God. But on Mount Transfiguration is, this is my beloved Son. Hallelujah. I don't want to preach it the way the devil says it, if you're a son of God. If you were a son of God, you wouldn't think this. If you were a son of God, you wouldn't act like that. If you were a son of God, this. If you were a son of God, that. I'm sorry, I don't think that's the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd rather say it the way God says it. You are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. You are an attribute of God. Because quite frankly, if you're not, I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to the sons of God. I'm preaching to the attributes of God. That's the day and the hour the church has come to now. It's not an if, it's a now. It's not a when, it's a now. It's not an if, it's a surety. This word came to you and you believed it because you are an attribute of God. Hallelujah. All right. So now let's take a little bit out of who is in Melchizedek, because I don't think I can make those statements without declaring it amongst you, the way the prophet of God said it. Because the thoughts of God becoming material, which thoughts we are, it's not God saying, I knew it would be this way. It's the literal thoughts of God materializing in the hour that we're living in. The difference now is that we understand it. If I could even say it this way, the difference now is actually this: the reason that there's such a rejoicing in this hour is because we have come to the solution of bitterness. The solution of bitterness is to know who you are and to know that everything that you've been through in your life has been for a purpose to bring you to your position. Amen. Like Joseph had to be brought to his position. And when he came to the end of the road of his life and his father Jacob died and his brothers came to him and said to him, you know, when dad died, before he died, he said, when I die, you go and get apologize to Joseph afresh and tell him you're sorry for what you did. Because they were worried about his bitterness. And in his bitterness, he would exact revenge. And so they came to him and said, we want to apologize. And Joseph said, what, am I in the place of God? You don't even understand what's happening here. He says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Amen. You see, when they threw him into a pit, they meant it for evil. The devil thought it was evil. Here was the promised son that was coming into position. But for God, God looked down at Joseph in the pit and said, that's good. Come on. You can say amen or you can just sit there and pout, whatever you like. But God said, that's good. And he got taken down into Egypt and sold into slavery. And he becomes a slave down in Egypt. This man, who is the anointed man of the hour, becomes a slave down in Egypt. And God looks at it and says, what does he say?
That's good.
Yeah. Right? And so there he is in Potiphar's house, and God's blessing him. He's the son of prosperity, and God's using him down there and blessing the house. But that wasn't the purpose of God. So along comes Potiphar's wife with her terrible ideas, and everybody's out of the house, and she calls Joseph into her bedchamber, and she wants to commit adultery with him. And he runs away. He keeps his integrity. Amen, young people, keep your integrity.
Amen.
And yet, no matter what situation you find yourself in, run away from it. And Joseph ran away. He left his garment. Oh, we could talk about the changing of Joseph's garment and how many times it had to change. But there, the changing of his garment, and then he runs away from that. And then he gets falsely accused and thrown into prison. He gets accused of something he didn't do and thrown into prison. And God says, that's good. Then he's in prison for a number of years. And because he needs to be in prison to meet the butler who's the right hand of Pharaoh. He's got to be there, and the butler needs to know that he's an interpreter of dreams. And so God gives the butler a dream and the baker as well. And Joseph interprets the dreams, and the dreams come to pass. And there's Joseph in prison, and God's blessing him there, but that's not his purpose. And so even though he's in prison, now the baker is executed, and the butler goes back to serving Pharaoh. And Joseph says, remember me. And I often wondered about these 2 years now. I just thought about it the other day. You see, I'm not God. I don't know everything. But it just came to me the other day, Brother Barry. Why did Joseph need to stay in prison for 2 years? Because they needed to know where he was when his time came. If he had told Pharaoh, this man interpreted my dream and he's a great man, please release him from prison, and Joseph gets released from prison and goes back to his family. That wasn't his purpose. So God said, the best thing I can do for you is keep you in prison for 2 years. God looked at 2 more years in prison and said, that's good. Hallelujah. You're getting the picture. Yeah. Joseph got the picture. Finally, at the end of 2 full years, Pharaoh has a dream, and the butler recognizes, oh, yes, there's a man in prison. He interpreted my dreams. He can interpret your dream. They call him out of prison, change his robe again. Then, and they call him out of prison, and they bring him back to the presence of Pharaoh, or to the presence of Pharaoh, and he interprets the dream, and he finally comes to his position. I think it's 13 years from the time he was in the pit to the time he ascends to the throne at the right hand of Pharaoh, and it was all good. All things work together for good. To those who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. God has a purpose for you. And some of that purpose is that you would go through hard times. Because God has a place for you. God has something in the body that's only your position. And in the midst of it all, Hebrews 12 comes along and reminds us and says, now looking unto Jesus, who for the, you know, let's not forget him, who for the joy that was set before him, the joy that was set before him, endured something that wasn't joyful.
Amen.
Endured the cross. Despising the shame. He says, lest you weary in your trials. Look at him. He did it for the joy that was set before him. He says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children and says, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. As I said to the brothers yesterday, that's all I need to hear. My son.
Amen.
That's all I want to know. when God says to me, my son. I don't care what else I got to go through. It doesn't matter to me. If God says, my son, and that's how God speaks, this is my beloved son. And that's what Brother Branham said was adoption. And that's the hour that we are living in. And that's the revelation that we are walking under. And that's the thing that's manifesting right around you. And even in your own life that we have trouble gaining a hold of is the revelation of who we are. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. Lord, all I hear is my son. I don't care about chastening. I don't care about trials. I don't care about what's got to come. Lord, if I'm your son, whatever it takes, Lord. Amen. Come on. Amen. I just want to know that I'm your son. Amen. I just want to know that I'm a part of you before the foundation of the world. See, God has this great purpose. We could go through David. We could go through Ruth. We could go through different ones. But I want to just say that's what God was speaking of in Jeremiah chapter 29. Oh, I love this scripture because it's become popular in this age. I hear a lot of denominational people bring up this scripture in Jeremiah 29. Thus saith the Lord, after 70 years will be accomplished, God says to Israel. He says, I know the thoughts I think towards you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Amen. All right. So that's what God says to Israel. And that's what a lot of denominational people are picking up on. But that's not what he's saying to you. Because he's not saying to you, I know the thoughts. He's saying to you, here's my message. Now you know my thoughts. This is the mind of Christ revealed to the bride. Amen. Now it's not just God knowing his thoughts. Now you know his thoughts. Amen. Now you know the thoughts I have pertaining to you. Thoughts of good and not of evil. Thoughts of peace and of an expected end. Then that's what I read in the message of the hour. It's thoughts of good and not of evil. Oh, Brother Tim, you don't know what I've been through. No, I don't. But I know they're thoughts of good. I know they're the fulfillment of the scripture that says all things work together for good. Yes, sir. Because they're designed to work in this dimension to manifest the very attributes of God in your life that cannot be manifested any other way. Because if you're an angel, when we get to heaven, Brother Branham says the angels will bow their heads. When we sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Amen. You can lead us, Brother Jason. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Amen. I was blind, but now I see. When we sing that together, it'll mean something to us. My brother Brown said the angels will bow their heads because they won't know what we are singing about. There are things, and we're only making it by the grace of God. It's not your works. It's not how low you've been or haven't been. It's not how great you've been. Paul says, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, of the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised on the eighth day, amongst my peers, more zealous than anybody else. And I count those things but dung, that I may win Christ, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. Amen. That's our revelation as believers, is that any good works we don't count as entitling us to anything, but it's the blood of Jesus Christ that entitles us to everything. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I go a little bit further? Yes, we're almost out of time here. I don't really know what time I started, but I'm sure it's closer to the time that I'm finished. Praise the Lord. All right, who is this Melchizedek? That's where I was. He says, we find him at the beginning, his attributes. Now you were with him then, then is when the Lamb's Book of Life comes into view. All right. Let's pause a moment here. Is it all right if I take my jacket off? It means I'm just getting warmed up. All right. As the crowd murmurs restlessly. What did he mean by that? So Brother Branham in this statement says, we find him at the beginning. Where's the beginning? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. We find him at the beginning. His attributes. There's his attributes. The Logos. Now you were with him then. Then is when the Book of Life comes into view. Where? John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. All right, think of it before Jesus was ever born. We'll just carry on here. 4,000 years before he came on the earth, several thousand years before you come on the earth, Jesus, in God's mind, died for the sins of the world. And the Book of Life was made, and your name was put on the Book of Life before the foundation of the world. That's the Bible truth. I love the way Brother Branham says it so we can understand it. He says, think of it as a book. And God put your name there. But when he goes into it in the church ages, he says, you always were there.
Yeah, right.
All right. But he's making it, you see, a prophet has to make it in terminology so we as mortal human beings can understand what he's trying to talk about. I am convinced that if Brother Branham actually said it the way God saw it, none of us would have understood it. But God had to choose a man with a seventh grade education to make it so simple that would allow us as human beings, as believers, to understand and take a hold of it for revelation. All right? He says, your name was ordained of God and placed on the Book of Life before the foundation of the world. You were there in his attributes. You don't remember it, no, because you're just part of his life. You are a part of God when you become a son or daughter of God, just as you're part of your earthly father. He says the male carries the hemoglobin, the blood, and then that has gone in the egg, and you become a part of your father. Your mother was a part of your father, and you all become, so you're all part of your father. Glory, he said, that lets the denomination out altogether. God in all, the only place. He says, all right, now we're going to catch up to the thought. Now, when you're studying the message, you'll find Brother Branham does this a lot. He'll go this thought, and then he'll say something, and then he'll carry on the thought after that, and then after that. So pay attention to that when you're in the message. He says, now notice his attribute. All right, so now he's coming back to the attribute. Then the attribute was first God. The thought, the attribute itself, all in one without being expressed. That's as deep as anybody ever wants it. How many are attributes of God? All right. Put your name there. All right. Let's do that again. How many are attributes of God? All right. You're an attribute. You actually believe you're an attribute of God. Okay. Now this is what a prophet said. Notice now his attribute. The attribute was first God. He's explaining to you who you are. You're not just a happen chance sinner that happened to believe a message. You were first God. And you were brought down into this dimension to manifest that which was his purpose. All right. The attribute was first God, the thought. The attribute itself all in one without being expressed. Then when he expressed secondarily, he became then the Word. What's that? John 1. All right. So he became then the Word. And then the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. St. John chapter 1. He even says it. First chapter in the first verse. Notice in the beginning was the Word. When the time begin. What is he saying there? You know, we often say, oh, well, Brother Tim, it's time to end. But when the time began, well, what did we, the service begin at 11. When, you know, I began November the 21st, 1961, you know, when time began, January 10th, 1977, you know, time beginning. No, no, no. He's talking about the creation of a dimension. He's talking about in this dimension of time and space, when that started, see, it had to come out of eternity. And it had to create this dimension. He says, when time began, it was the Word. It was Word. But before it was the Word, it was an attribute, a thought. Then it was expressed. In the beginning was the expression, the Word. And I'm saying all that to get to this sentence. Now we're getting where Melchizedek is. All right. So I started with the statement in this quote. This is paragraph 52 to 55, and who is this Melchizedek? I started, he said, we find him at the beginning, his attributes. Yep. That was the beginning of this quote. You were with him then. Then is when the book of life comes into view. All right? We all understand that. Then he comes all the way through down to the end and ends up back at John 1 and 1. He says, and it says, now we're getting where Melchizedek is.
Right.
The Lamb's Book of Life, Melchizedek. Are you with me?
Amen.
The Lamb's Book of Life and Melchizedek is the same thing in another form.
Amen.
You are in the Lamb's Book of Life, which is the thoughts of God.
Yeah.
And in the beginning was the Word. The Lamb's Book of Life comes into view. That Word was made flesh. Who was made flesh? Who is this Melchizedek? Without beginning of days or ending of life. Without father, without mother. Who is this Melchizedek? Jesus never bypassed the Word. He was the Word, and the Word became flesh. That's Melchizedek coming into view. That's the fullness of the attribute of God now becoming manifested in the flesh. I'm just explaining to you things you already know. And now, in Melchizedek, or in the Lamb's Book of Life, was individual attributes or members in particular. And that's you. That's why when the book was in the hand of him that sat on the throne, that used to be in the hand of Adam, but now it's in the hand of him that sat on the throne. You are there. But the Lamb had to come forth. The fullness of the attribute had to come forth to redeem those names. To redeem those attributes, to pay for everything that you were plunged into when you were born in sin, to pay for every mistake, to pay for every error, to pay for every sin, to pay for every evil thing that the devil reminds you of. This Lamb takes you, your name, the thought that you are, and says, I have paid the price.
Amen.
Weep not, John. The Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He has paid the price.
Amen.
For you to be what you were always meant to be.
Amen.
He has paid the price to wipe away your spiritual amnesia. He has paid the price for you to recognize, I always was an attribute of God.
Amen.
Now we are the sons of God.
Amen.
John writing it back in that day saying, it does not yet appear what we will be like, but we know when he appears, we shall be like him.
Amen.
In the last days when he appears, in the revealing of the sons of God, because all that he foreknew, he did predestinate to be like him.
Amen.
To be conformed to the image of his son. And I'll maybe end up with this morning and is where we'll start tonight. All that he foreknew would come to perfect faith in what the Word says they are.
Amen.
As Jesus walked by perfect faith in what the Word said he was, so does the bride.
Amen.
So does the bride walk by perfect faith.
Amen.
and what the Word says she is. Forget about your weaknesses. They're paid for.
Amen. Glory.
Don't bring your burdens to God and say, Lord, I got these troubles. Would you do something for me? He says, I've already done it. Lord, my sickness, those of you that are suffering sickness, that you're looking to the Lord. Say, Lord, I really need you to touch me. He says, but I've already paid for it. Amen. Why don't you touch the hem of my garment with your faith?
Amen.
Just like the woman that I preached to, that I talked about at the beginning. And I didn't know I was preaching to her. And then the woman in South Africa. And then the woman in Ethiopia. All of a sudden realizing, that's not for another day, that's for right now.
Amen.
That's for this service this morning.
Amen.
But Brother Tim, I've made mistakes. You know what Brother Brown said to do about your mistakes? Put them under the blood and move on with the Word.
Amen.
Confess them before God, and just not before man, before God.
Amen.
Let God cover them with the blood, because that's what the blood was sent for, was to pay for all your mistakes. He knew the devil would cause you to stumble. He knew the devil would be able to deceive you and trip you up and bring you into situations that you, and that's why Brother Brown says, you don't do it willfully. You'll make mistakes, but you won't do it willfully. The devil will entrap you and ensnare you and cause you to be in certain circumstances. And then at the end of it all, you'll throw up your hands and you'll say, oh my goodness, how can I be a son of God? But God will answer back from his word and say, this is my beloved son.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is my attribute. This is the one I paid the price for. I knew he would fall short. I knew she would fall short. It's not their goodness. It's the goodness of the Lamb of God.
Amen.
The perfection of the Lamb that has paid every price. By grace we are saved, and that by faith. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. You see, our perspective has been changed in this hour, and I'll close with this. I talked about the slave that knew he was a son of God. But let's talk about the eagle anointing just a moment, as we've changed in the church since the opening of the seals. It just seems that some people are slow to recognize it. We've changed from a man anointing to an eagle anointing. And the eagle anointing is a total change of perspective. You know, we realize the lion, the ox, the man are all earthbound creatures. The eagle rises up into the heavenlies, and there's a significance to that. Brother Branham goes into it in the fifth seal and describes the different attributes. He says, I'll describe it for you by the scripture and by history. Well, there was no history of the eagle anointing. He could go back in the church ages and describe the lion of the first ages, the ox anointing of the dark ages, and the man anointing of the Reformation ages, but the eagle anointing flew out in the opening of the seals. So even in the fifth seal, there's no history to describe. But what he does tell us, he says that God likens himself to an eagle and God likens his prophets to eagles. So there's the anointing that comes on prophets is the anointing of an eagle. Or in other words, and I'll just paraphrase it for you because this is a whole series that I preached for the men's meeting a couple years ago, is that the eagle anointing is to see things from God's perspective.
Amen.
I know the thoughts I have concerning you.
Amen.
Now I send you a message. That's why Brother Bram says in the Church Age book, he says, in the last days it will take a people with prophetic insight to be able to catch what God is doing in this age. One instance and then we close. We know down in the city of Dotham, maybe Brother Barry has talked about it. Down in the city of Dotham, there was a prophet Elisha. And he kept sending the king of Israel the plans of the king of Syria. And the king of Syria says, all right, let's lay an ambush for the king of Israel. And they'd lay the ambush, and the king and Elisha would send a messenger to the king of Israel and said, don't go down in this certain valley because the Syrians are waiting for you there. And so the ambush failed, and then it would happen again in another place and again. And finally, the king of Syria became so frustrated, he gathered his war council and said, all right, who is the spy amongst us? Who's telling the king of Israel what my plans are? And one of his servants says, oh, king, you know, it's not a spy, but Israel has a prophet. And because Israel has a prophet, he knows what you're thinking in your bedchamber. And oh my. And so the king was like, well, where is this prophet? He said, well, he's in the city of Dotham. He said, well, let's go get him. And so they sneaked down to the city of Dotham. And I find it hard to believe that Elisha didn't know what was happening and God didn't forewarn him. But, you know, God doesn't show his prophets everything for a specific reason. And so there we find in the morning the armies of Syria surrounding the city. And as they're surrounding the city, the servant of Elisha, we like to call him Gehazi. Brother Branham called him Gehazi. I'm not sure that it was Gehazi, because it doesn't say it was Gehazi in the Bible, and Gehazi had already been smitten by leprosy. That's just Bible trivia. But here we have now the servant of Elisha get up in the morning, as I say, to make coffee. And he throws open the window shutters, and he looks around. Elisha! I could see his knees start to shake. Elisha! He braces himself on the counter. Elisha's in bed, maybe, rubbing his eyes. Yeah, what's the problem? Elisha, we're surrounded. There's armies all around the city. We're in trouble. His life is flashing before his eyes. He thinks it's over. He's never been in a trial this hard. You can call it cancer. You can call it tuberculosis. You can call it whatever you want. You can call it leukemia. You can call it anything else you want. You can call it a lost job. You can call it anything you want. But this man said, my life is over. There's an army here that has surrounded the city. And what happens in the city, if they don't breach the walls, they siege the city and we all starve to death. Now he's in trouble. And Elisha calls out and he says, don't worry. There's more with us than there is with them.
Amen.
Now, I'm sure that the servant of Elisha wanted with everything within him to believe what Elisha said. Elijah's a prophet of God. He always tells the truth. If he says there's more with us than there is with them, then I'm just going to believe him. He looks out the window and starts to shake again. I'm just going to believe what Elisha says. Just say what the prophet says. I'm just going to believe him. And he's just looking out the window. And no doubt Elisha was recognizing that that wasn't enough for the servant. So then he prays. He says, Lord, take the anointing that's on me. Or I'm sorry. He says, Lord, open this young man's eyes. Or in other words, take the anointing that's on me by which I can see things and put it on him so he can see what I can see. Change his perspective. Don't change the circumstances, because the circumstances did not change. I want you to understand this. What the servant's eyes come open to is the hills he all of a sudden saw were full of the armies of the Lord. Swords of fire, chariots of fire, the angels of God, the great armies of the Lord. As he began to relax, they did not just appear, they were already there. They were already there. The only thing that happened was his eyes became open. And as his eyes became open, he began to see what Elisha saw, which is what God saw. From his own perspective, life was over. But from God's perspective, there never was a doubt. God took the man anointing away from the church and put the eagle anointing on the church so that we can see things the way God sees things. Not the way they preached it in the Pentecostal time or the Methodist time or the Baptist time or the Lutheran time or the Catholic time or even back in the first ages. As Paul said, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now we see in part, we know in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. We're living in that hour as the musicians come. We're living in that hour now, where God has totally changed the perspective of the church. is not he's going to change it. He has already changed it. The anointing is upon the church so that you can see yourself the way God sees you. To walk by perfect faith in what the Word says you are. I was hunting one time, and up in Canada, where Brother Barry's from in Newfoundland, they have what's called the moose. We have the moose up in northern Alberta, northern British Columbia. It's a huge animal, lots of meat. One time I was out in the bush, and I was getting ready for hunting season. I knew exactly where there was a bull moose, and I got ready for hunting season, and I thought, you know, I'm going to be ready for this moose. I'm going to be the first one out there. When hunting season opens, I got my license and went out there. And I was first day of hunting season. I was there in that location where I recognized all the moose sign was. Brother Barry, you've maybe been in a situation like that. And the whole everything was right there. I could hear him. I could hear this moose. And I just thought, this is exactly the moose that I'm going to get. And so I'm just moving very quietly. And then all of a sudden, as we poor hunters often do, make a terrible mistake, and I stepped on a dry twig. Now he knew I was there. And that's different. And all of a sudden, I could hear him beller, as a moose does. And then he was some upset, and he began to run through that forest, crashing and banging. Limbs were crashing, and trees were suffering. And he was just moving through that bush to get away from where I was because he didn't know what I was. And he was just taking off. I never saw a glimpse of him. I never saw a hair. I never saw an antler. I knew he was there. The signs that he was there, everything was already there. But I never got a shot at him. One day I was up in an airplane in the Yukon, a small airplane, just a 6-passenger plane. It was a brother that asked me if I wanted to just see the terrain. And I said, sure, I'll go up in an airplane. And so he took me up for a flight, just kind of a sightseeing flight around the city of Whitehorse and into the countryside a little bit. And as I'm flying around Whitehorse, looking down from the sky, now my perspective is different. Right. And as I'm looking down, I'm looking, there's a moose. There's a moose. Oh, there's a moose over there. And there's another moose over there. What happened? It was a change of perspective. The circumstances didn't change. The perspective changed. See, the circumstances of the church has not changed. Jesus paid the price for it all. The Holy Ghost was given on the book of Acts. Brother Branham says the church has been in the Feast of Pentecost for 7 church ages. We've come now to the end of time. But what has changed now is to change the perspective of the church. To understand that we're not just a sinner saved by grace. That's why we're not out there trying to win souls by telling them how bad they are, or telling them how wrong they are, or telling them how doomed to hell they are. Now we have a different perspective on the gospel, and we have a message to show them who they are, to redeem them by the revelation of the sons of God in the last days. You know that song here, The Goodness of God? I love you, Lord. Let's stand together. Brother Branham says, I'll read you one last quote as you play softly, Sister Becky. He says, when God made the first man, he made the heavens and the earth, and he stood back on the old creation and looked upon it. He didn't look upon it to judge it. He looked upon it and said, how good it is. He admired it. But now Satan perverted that. But if God could not condemn his first creation, how much more is it impossible for him to condemn his second creation, when you are created anew in Christ Jesus. He says, and when God born you anew by the Holy Spirit, he says he can only look upon you as a perfect work because he did it himself. He can't condemn you. Oh, saints, there's a prophet trying to tell you something. Blessed is the man to whom God will not impute iniquity. He can't condemn you, for you are his workmanship. Oh my, he says, I feel like shouting like a Methodist. Think of it. You are God's workmanship. He did it by how? Sovereign grace. Not because you jumped. Not because you went to church. Not because you turned a new page. But because God, by his mercy, brought you into Christ and to fellowship and looks upon you as a perfect work of his own. I say, don't give me my perspective. Don't give me the devil's perspective. Give me God's perspective. Let me see myself the way God sees me. That's what I need in this hour. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand.
From the moment that I wake up
until I lay.
I bless your name.
yes.
And they
were free. Sing it now.
I bless your name.
Sing his praises today. I'll tell you what, it's time. It's time for the bride of Christ to realize something. Brother Tim put it in the sentence here, which is a quote. And, you know, we've always known that God had attributes, and we are the attributes of God, the attributes of God's expressed. But Brother Branham said, the attribute was God. The attribute was God. So before you were a thought, and before you were a person, and before you were standing here, you were actually a part of God, part Amen. Of the eternal. That revelation, let me tell you, that'll cause you to take your hands out of your pockets and raise them up and say, thank you, Jesus. Hey, heavens and earth can pass away, but I will never pass away because I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. Glory to God. I stand in awe of you. Let's sing this morning here. Let's just worship him here. Hey, we're going to have dinner in a couple of minutes. There's lots of food. You're not going to miss out. I think it'd be right for us to just take a few minutes and just lift our hands and our voices to him and just give him the glory he deserves.
You are beautiful beyond description and too marvelous.
Wonderful for comprehension.
Thanking you, Lord, for making the word so plain, for taking an anointing that allows us to see what the prophet saw and placing it upon his bride, that we might see truly that the enemy is smaller than the conqueror. And Lord, we are a part of that great victory today. I thank you, Lord God, for what we know and understand. But Lord, may it just go from something that we grasp in our minds to something that's lived in our hearts and becomes very real to us, Lord. May we walk it. May we be like Enoch, having a testimony that pleases you, because one day soon, Lord, we believe you're going to take us off the face of the earth. And Lord, we just want to say this morning, we're thankful to be here. Bless our fellowship now this afternoon and service this evening. We just pray that you would just create, Lord, just a real desire in our hearts, oh God, a desire renewed to hear those things, Lord, that we know create rapturing faith inside of our hearts. We love you. We thank you, Lord. Bless Brother Tim. Give him inspiration, Lord, which comes from you. And I pray, Father, you'd bless our conversation this afternoon. In Jesus Christ's lovely name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Be glad you came today.
Amen.
I am for sure. Sing this as you go today. Everything is prepared over here, so if you want to make your way right over to the fellowship hall, we'll get started over there. When you see Sister Rebecca Ivy and Sister Becky Coffey, thank them for their decorations. They did all the work yesterday and preparing everything for the event today, and we're thankful for their labors here. And make sure that when you're done and you help clean up, then get out in the air and walk around a little bit so we're a little bit alert for tonight, because too much dessert will do it every time. Amen. God bless you. Sing this as you go today.
I stand in awe of you. Yes, I stand. Is in the Lord.
tender mercies come with every rising sun to meet the sinner in his brokenness, to offer healing.